Father, speak. Draw us closer to your Son. We give you glory. Do the good works you've prepared for us in Messiah Yeshua. To love you, to love each other, and to bless this world with the message of hope in Yeshua. In his name, amen. Okay, as Shakespeare said, to suffer or not to suffer, there is no question. All right, because of time, we're just going to move forward. So, who wants to suffer? Nobody, right? Nobody wants to suffer, right? I mean, if you ever go to Los Angeles, you call a doctor and say, oh, I stubbed my toe, and he'll give you a prescription for marijuana. I mean, you could get out of suffering for anything. It's insane. People will do anything they can. And there's no shame to get out of suffering. Nobody wants it. Next. Can we avoid suffering in this world? Not really. Right? This is kind of the foundation of Buddha's philosophy, is that life is suffering, so you got to do everything you can to detach yourself from it. Next. But is there anything good in suffering? Sure. Birth pains produce babies. Growing pains produce growth. And gym pains produce sweet muscles. You're not going to look jacked if you don't push yourself into pain. Right? Pain, suffering is, there are good things to suffering. It's not all bad. Next. And the fact is, a lot of us don't even think about this, but God himself has suffered. You ever think about that? Like, oh, sometimes we think we put God as emotionless. It's not the case. God has a lot of emotions. And he actually, I would say he suffered. And let's look at some examples. So in the very beginning, his kids don't listen to him, and he has to kick them out of his house. Right? It's not the Living Bible translation, but it's my version. Right? Then just a little bit later, one of his own grandsons kills the other one. If you think about it, you don't just think, oh, God and his creation. They're his kids. Right? And then his own grandson kills the other one. Then he gets so fed up with how bad his kids behave, he says, he actually, vayinachem, he regretted, or he was like, he tried to console himself, like, I can't take it anymore. So he decides to wipe them all out, except for one family of eight. Can you imagine? All right, kids. You eight, you're okay. The rest of you, it's going to be a hard bath. Later, the world repopulates, and they betray him by erecting and creating idols and worshiping things of their own creation. Stone, wood, metal. So they've left their father, and they've gone to worship things that they've created. Then he calls a people to be his own special people. According to Ezekiel 2, they've been rebelling against him since the beginning. The beginning. It wasn't like a new thing. Then he sends them messengers, prophets. And they kill the prophets. So he says, come back to me, come back to me. I have good things for you. Let's get them. And then he finally sends his beloved son to show them truly who the Father is and to bring them back into intimacy with him. And they say, let's crucify him. Would you call it suffering? I think so. Next. And we know Yeshua, 700 years before his birth, he was destined to suffer. Isaiah writes in chapter 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hide their faces. I mean, it's not even personal suffering. Literally, people don't even want to look at him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our pains. So it seems like the beginning part is just he has this shame to him, and then the other part is he adds insult to injury by taking ours. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. And the good news is we're destined to suffer too. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3, say Thessalonians five times fast. He says, we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God and proclaiming the good news of Messiah, in order to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions. Right? So they're getting a hard time. And he says, I don't want you to fall away. And here's the kicker. For you yourselves know we are destined for this. We're destined for affliction. Sorry. For even when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer persecution, just as has happened, as you know. But the good news is God has suffered. Yeshua was destined to suffer, and he clearly did. So we're in good company. Next, why are we destined to suffer, you might ask? And this is the hard part. It's the sad part, frankly. Now, this is Yeshua's conversation with Nicodemus, the leader, one of the leaders of Israel. He says, now this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. The judgment is when people are in darkness, meaning they don't see what they're doing. But once you're exposed, you have a choice. Am I doing what is good or am I doing what is bad? And when people are doing what is bad, it says, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that their deeds will not be exposed. But even you look at wicked guys like Epstein with his sick sex slave island with other people, it got exposed. Everything will be exposed. And it led to his death. But whoever practices the truth comes to the light so that it may be made known that his deeds have been accomplished in God. We're destined to suffer because we have a message that exposes people. And nobody wants to be exposed, especially today. Right? Where everything is justified. Well, it's mine. It's like, well, let's compare it to God's ways. And then they're going to say, well, who are you? It's like, well, I know God, and God has shown me what's right and wrong. Like, you're so judgmental. It's like, well, you're right, I am. I judge what's right and what's wrong. How dare you? Because what's right is what's good for you, and what's wrong is what's bad for you. Yes, it's true, and people have to deal with that fact. And that's where the love of God comes in, where it says, I love you and I'll forgive you. But it's a hard message. And remember, even when Yeshua said all this, did they everyone accept him? Even though he perfectly manifested the love of God to everybody? No. No, he didn't. We should expect no less. Next. So the fact is, though, when we're persecuted, when we're suffering, it means we're doing well. What do you mean, Rabbi? Well, let me explain. So, if you're not suffering in one respect, now I'm not telling you to go out and look for it. Don't go stand in traffic and say, I need to suffer. What I'm saying is suffering for doing what's right. Now, there are aspects of even as Larry pointed out, we could be suffering from attacks from the enemy, from be it sickness or disability or whatever, that can happen. And there's also just the fact that this world is still corrupted by sin. So it's bad stuff can just happen. I mean, my gosh, Orly cut her foot open. We were at the river. She stepped on a piece of glass. That's a bad thing. Was she suffering for righteousness' sake? No, it just happened. And then we get out of the hospital. She took it like a champ. And we get in the car, and it's a big rainstorm, we're driving along, and then I see 100 yards away, lightning hits the ground. Like, oh my gosh, seriously? We're going to get out of the hospital to be struck by lightning? Thank God, I prayed the whole way, like almost screaming prayer, and we made it through the high. I'm like, oh, thank God. But what am I going to do? I can't control this. This is life. I know God's in control, but I'm talking about in the sense of when being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Suffering for the name of Yeshua. And if you notice, let's look at Acts. Here's Acts 5 when Peter and John leave the Sanhedrin after they preach. Someone gets healed. They're not just saying stuff. Actually, someone is literally healed. Then they're preaching. Then they get in prison. They go into trial. Then they go into prison, and then they're finally released. And he says, so they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were considered worthy to be dishonored on account of his name. Why? Well, Yeshua talks about this in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning you are living and speaking from the kingdom perspective, which is at odds with this world, right? God rules the kingdom, and who rules this world? The enemy, the prince of the power of the air. This is his domain. Now, he's been crippled, but it's still not fully, God hasn't fully taken over this world yet. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Not because you cut someone off when you're driving, but because you're actually going out there and manifesting the love of Yeshua to others. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, because you're doing the right thing. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Meaning we come from a long line of people being sent by God and who are ill-received. And this goes all the way into the culmination of Yeshua himself. And he says in Luke 6, it is enough for a disciple to become like his master. If they call the master, you know, Beelzebub, so they'll do the same for you. And there is an aspect. We can't just say, oh, well, people, the Christians in China or in Africa suffer. Well, that's true. But it's not just a locational thing. Let's move on. You'll see more. The fact is, it's worth it. And Paul writes the Philippians in chapter 3, end of chapter 3, but whatever things were gained to me, these I have considered as loss for the sake of the Messiah. More than that, I consider all things to be lost in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them garbage in order that I might gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my righteousness derived from Torah, but one that is through trusting in Messiah, the righteousness from God based on trust. My aim is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. That's right. That's his aim. Becoming like him in his death, if somehow I might arrive at the resurrection from the dead. It is an aim of Paul here to not just know him, not just to know the power of his resurrection, but the sharing of his sufferings. Because that means you're doing the right thing. And becoming like him in his death, meaning, as Jill's saying, I'm all in. Whatever happens to me. If you ever read Hebrews 11, it's not a very happy chapter. Dudes get sawed in half. Guys get heads chopped off. Jeremiah was put into a cesspool up to his neck. It's gonna get bad. Really is. And I don't mean like, oh, I don't like you, hashtag go away. I mean like really bad. Like persecution. Like China, like Iran. Like in the Middle East. In Gaza, where they think, oh, the poor Palestinians suffer by the hands of Israelis. Well, how about the Palestinians who suffer at the hands of Palestinians? Where the Muslims kill the Christians? Because people don't want to be exposed. And again, we're not going out there looking for it, but we can rejoice in it, because if we're suffering for Messiah's sake on account of his name, that means we're being like him. And it says, we read in Philippians, you know, during the Elenu, that he despised the shame of the cross because he saw that there was something greater beyond it. So he's willing to endure it because of the resurrection of the dead. The gospel, the kingdom has been so watered down just by believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Yes, that's part of it. That's a huge part. But there's so much more. And especially as we say, oh, we want the Lord to come back. Do you realize what has to precede it? You know, there's a story, if we're reading, and I know I quote a lot about this, when the Navy SEALs go through BUDS, they go through training, is one of the things they have to do is they have the commanders go into their rooms and check the cleanliness of their room. They go, what? Who cares? It's their room. They go through their bed. Is it everything crisp? Is their footlocker nice? Are all their clothes pressed and folded nicely? Are the things in order? And because they're on the beach in Southern California, is there any sand on the floor? So the commanders go through it very meticulously. And they see it. And if it's not perfect to the standard that they want it, they make them run. And they say, come back and do it again. And if they don't do it right, go out to more PT. Finally, once they get it right, and they ask, why are you scrutinizing so much about our rooms? He said, well, because if you're faithful in organizing your room, then you, I, and your men can trust you that you'll prepare yourself and that you're ready for whatever fight you have to go into. And if I can trust you with making your bed, then I'll trust that you'll pack your parachute the right way. If your clothes are in order, then I mean you have all the gear that you need to fulfill your role in our mission. And so it is with us. We need to be prepared so that when things get bad, that we can trust each other, that God can use us to stand for him and to spread the light of God into a dark and a darkening world. It's not a message of doom and gloom, actually. It's a message of preparation so that the move of God can be the greatest it's ever been. We think the book of Acts is great. This is actually going to be better. It's going to be harder, but we're going to be prepared. As we press into the Lord, we'll be able to shine more brightly. Next slide. Believe it or not, there are actually benefits of suffering. I can't go through all the references, but there they are on this board. It acknowledges God's presence, as I've already said. It enables newness of life, meaning that the world's persecution, God will fill up what is lacking. Or whatever comes against us, the Lord will shine brightly in there. It also enables us to comfort others. It enables us to reach the resurrection, as we just read. And it also enables us to reign. Yeshua was the most debased, therefore he was the most highly exalted. And it also leads to glory. These are going to get worse, but the fact is in Revelation 21:4, it says these are all temporary. In the kingdom, these will all go away. You know, I watched my daughter when she was getting her foot operated on. They had to take a needle about this big and put it four times into her heel. To see a four-year-old scream like that? It's heartbreaking. Screaming. And I can't stop it. But once it was over, it's like, can I watch a show on your phone? I said, sure, whatever you want. You want another popsicle? No, I'm okay. Just seeing that now she's got her stitches in and she runs around with a little hop foot, you know. Nothing bothers her. That pain is, we talked about it. She started getting like emotional about it, but, you know, it's sad. But it's done. And now she's better. But my point is that we're going to endure, but only to see the kingdom of God come. And as things get darker, as persecution increases, the good news is that we're going to see things that the world has never seen. And the book of Acts is like an hors d'oeuvre compared to what God will do. If we press into him, and if we pursue the Lord, and when we go against persecutions, just praise God. Remember when they put Paul and Silas in prison? They didn't call their lawyer. They worshiped God. And he broke them out. And it led to the salvation of that guard. and his whole family. If he had called his lawyer, "I'm a Roman citizen. Who do you think you are?" It wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have saved that Roman guard. I read a story about a Chinese man. He was in prison because of his faith, and he had memorized the entire book of Matthew. That's all he knew, and he would literally just recite it, and it led to salvation of his people around him. God will give us the strength as we pursue him to do what is necessary. But as we go out, we have to be close to him, knowing that he is our strength and our song, that his light, as the darkness grows darker, the light will grow lighter. And the reason why we always don't need each other, because we have to be there to encourage one another, to build one another up, to say, let's pursue the Lord, let's worship him. So when we go out and share and the light emanates from us, people will get saved. People will know the living God. And it's going to happen where believing in God and trusting in the name of Yeshua will be illegal. But then we'll see God do amazing things. God is hindered by no man. Thanks, David. And any persecution come against us will not falter, will not hinder the movement of God and the expansion of the kingdom of God, and also with the return of Yeshua. Because when he comes back, all those dark forces will bow down. And all the boo-boos we got and the names we were called, will go away. And he asks, sometimes wonder why a woman would be willing to go get pregnant and go through childbirth, because you get a baby. You get a baby. And then she says, let's do it again. And you get another baby. Those pains go away. Then you don't sleep, but that's besides the point. But those go away too. All these things will be temporary, however difficult and unbearable they may be. And if you really want an anesthetic to go with it, it's the worship of God and being in the fellowship of his body. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that your power of your Holy Spirit to first and foremost give us the love of God and to show us who Yeshua is. I pray, God, fill us, Lord, with your love and your power to go out and minister hope and life and forgiveness and peace with God through the mighty name of Yeshua. Unite us further in love. May nothing hinder us from doing good works, Lord, for your glory and for the salvation of this world, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And to unite us, Lord, in love, that there be no bitter root or wormwood in our community, Lord, that we would get rid of all entangling sins, that we would forgive quickly and repent quickly, and knowing that, Lord, that you, your desire, your prayer for us is to be united with each other and with you so that we can go and expand this kingdom and call you forth, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, we pray. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.